Thank you. Greetings, friends. In the Gospel by John, chapter 19, and verse 18, they have brought the Lord Jesus to the place of the skull, in the Hebrew tongue, Golgotha. And verse 18 says, where they crucified him. Four tremendous words. We can read over them so easily without going into their terrible meaning. Where, at that place, the place of the skull, they crucified him. What does it mean to be crucified? The shameful death of the cross, where only the worst of criminals, the most diabolical acts by men, put them on the cross. It was a terrible, terrible death. Nails driven through their hands and through their feet, and the weight of their entire body hanging on those nails, and their bowels being pushed down into their abdomen. The awful, awful suffering, the tremendous temperature of their body, the fever that would be caused because of the suffering, and then nothing to drink unless it was vinegar mingled with gall. The Lord Jesus cried, I thirst. I thirst. Yes, friend. He thirsted, the thirst of a lost eternity, where he said the rich man cried for a drop of water to cool his tongue, for he was tormented in the flame. But on the cross the Lord Jesus suffered all the cruel sufferings that man can fall to his lot to suffer, and not all of them to one man, but one or two of them is enough to take us away. But the Lord Jesus suffered all of them, all the tortures and sicknesses and pain and shame and sorrow that is subject to the human family. He suffered it all in his own body on the tree, where they crucified him, where they laid his body across the cross of wood, a Roman gibbet, rough, ugly timber, trees, in fact. And then they drove those spikes through his hands and through his feet. My friend, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus on the cross is enough to melt the heart of anyone who will stop to think. Where they crucified him, little connotes the awful suffering that he there endured for sinners, for all of us, for you and for me. Thank God for any of us who have rested in that finished work, who have seen that the sufferings there put our sins away. The shedding of his precious blood cleanses us from all sin. For Peter could write in his epistle, we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. That is the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and verses 18 and 19. The precious blood of Christ, we're cleansed, we're redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, as was the Passover lamb, and all the offerings that were offered on Jewish altars. The lamb, the animal, must be a perfect animal. It may not be a blemish on it. It may not be ill, or it may not be crippled. It must be without spot and without blemish. And this is indicative of and pointed forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was without sin. He had no sin in him. He was the spotless, holy, spotless, harmless Son of God. Yet, there they crucified him at the place of the skull. They put him to death. This was their ultimate ambition, to put him to death, to get him away from them, so they'd not be bothered more with him. So, my friends, you know, the manner in which we treat the Lord Jesus today, in our individual capacity, indicates whether we agreed, whether we agree with those who put him to death. They wanted him out of their minds. Is it possible that some today on earth, and they don't care to think about the Savior? Is it possible that they do not think about the Savior? Is it possible that they do not read about the crucifixion? Is it possible they don't even think about the awful sufferings that he went through? Is it possible they don't think of the awful sufferings that lie ahead according to your Bible and mine if we reject the Savior? In the book of the Hebrews, we read in the 2nd chapter, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Not reject it, but just simply go on neglecting it. Failing to take any notice of it. Failing to consider it for ourselves. Is it possible that some of us, perhaps many of us, we've not ever considered, we've neglected up till now to think about the crucifixion, that it was for our sake, that he bare our sins there. God who knew them laid them on him. And believing, we are free. All of our sins were laid upon him. He bore them on the tree. Peter writes about that, and he says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, my friend, have you been to the cross by faith? Are you healed by the precious blood of Christ? Are you saved by his grace because you accept him as your Savior by an act of your heart, your soul, your mind? You realize I'm a sinner, guilty and lost, and the Lord Jesus died just for me. And I believe it. I rest on that. His word says so. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How great to know him as Savior. How great to rest in him. And to know that in eternity to come, we'll be with him and like him for all eternity. In that bliss that's never been told. The bliss of glory, wherever the Lord Jesus is. The hymn writer could very well say, that will be glory for me. When I shall look on his blessed face, that will be glory for me. But the awful sufferings come first, and then the glory. My friends, be careful, beware, that we don't neglect the Lord Jesus Christ, the great salvation he has wrought. We can't fail to be struck by the fact that he suffered and bled and died to pay your debt and mine, so that God would be satisfied, that God's law would be fulfilled, that the soul that sinneth it shall die. The Lord Jesus died, not having any sins of his own, but all of yours and all of mine. Oh, what a wonderful salvation, friend, that we can have without money and without price. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God by faith. It's the grace of God that gives us salvation, and we can have his salvation by accepting him right now as our personal Savior, because he died on the cross that you and I might be redeemed. Redeemed, not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. There they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Here the two malefactors, the two who were guilty of murder, an insurrection, and they are on either side, one of them, and Jesus in the midst. He's now numbered with the transgressors, as Isaiah says in his 53rd chapter in verse 12. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was in the middle. He was in between the two. What humiliation, friend, on the part of the Savior. No wonder he said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for you and for me. Oh, my friends, for you and for me. Have you believed it? Have you received Him? Have you trusted Him as your own, your individual Savior? Can you not see that when He died bearing your sins, then if you believe it, your sins are gone? He said, whosoever believeth, whosoever hath the Son hath life. And whosoever hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Judgment will be meted out to the one who doesn't trust Christ. O Father, help many precious souls today, many lovely people, to trust Christ for themselves, to realize that He died for their sins, that they might be free and washed and cleansed and made fit for Thy presence in eternity. May this be the happy lot and portion of very many. Our President and all in authority and all the citizens of this great country and all who visit it. And around the world, Lord, may the Savior's name be proclaimed, the only one by whom man can be saved. We pray these things and Thy blessing upon our President and all in authority, for our Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.